Revelation chapter 9, starting at verse 13 through 17, actually. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Again, this is the same altar of Revelation 8, where the angel mixes incense with the prayers of the tribulation saints. And the smoke of that incense and the prayers rose to God's nostrils, which then kindled God's wrath. And that's where this tribulation here began. The sounding of a trumpet by the sixth angel caused the voice to rise from the horns of the altar again. And again, that altar is like a box that has four horns on either corner. And it's the heavenly altar where Jesus himself ministers. And the Levites in the Old Testament also ministered at the earthly altar, which was basically a shadow or a type or a replica of the real altar that exists in heaven. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, just to show you, and we've read this for many years, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin." Mm-hmm. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The only better sacrifice was the sacrifice of Jesus himself. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And so we see that the tabernacle and the Jewish temple and sanctuary services were studied in the Old Testament and mentioned there in the book of Hebrews, both spoke of the real sanctuary in heaven, where Christ presently ministers as the real and true high priest. And we've studied this same tabernacle that shows up in the book of the Revelation. And remember, when we're looking right now, we're looking in heaven, which is Revelation is showing us this is what heaven looks like. This is what's going on in heaven. And so you got to remember that there are points when we're looking, like right now, we're looking in heaven. We're looking at the throne of God. We're looking at the tabernacle. We're looking at the place where Jesus is presently, even now, ministering for us. The Bible says that he constantly makes intercession for us, not just the Holy Ghost who intercedes for us on this earth, but Jesus is in heaven interceding for us, praying for us, standing in the gap for us. How many need Jesus to stand in the gap for you? Thank God he's standing in the gap, because we'd all be a mess if he wasn't standing in the gap. How could we make it without him? And remember, he said, "Without me, you can't do anything, anything at all." So thank God for Jesus. He's doing more, I think, than we realize. But that's okay. You know, we need to come around to the place where we can, you can see that. Now, and here in Revelation chapter 9 and 13, we are told of the four horns of this golden altar in heaven. The horns of the golden altar refer to horns like animal horns.
Amen.
It's like spires. A spire is something that sticks straight up. Yes, spires stick straight up. Yet there are many buildings, old cathedral buildings you find where they have those look like steeples, and they got a bunch of those things sticking up. And it's like that kind of way, sticking straight up. And they're placed at the four corners of the altar of burnt offerings. Sometimes sacrificial animals would have to be tied to the horns of the altar. And on two occasions in the Bible, it records that two men grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, hoping for mercy and deliverance from being killed. I know that one of them did get killed at that spot at the altar. Whoever was chasing him didn't care. They just came right in and took him out, you know. But yeah, that's where they were there looking for mercy at that, the altar. And I think it looks back to the time of Abraham when he took his son Isaac to be sacrificed, and he had him tied up and had him on this rock, which might as well be an altar. And I can tell you what, in Abraham's mind, as far as he was concerned, that boy was dead. He was going to plunge that knife into that boy because he believed God just that much. And God is the only other one I know that was willing to give up his son, God and Abraham. And I you know, I'll send my son to minister to you, but send him back. You know, <Yeah. laughs> send him back. You know, I'm not God. But that's a mighty sacrifice to make when he sends and gives his own son. And then in Revelation 9:14, saying, in the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Did you know that there are angels in the river Euphrates right now that are bound? See, this book is telling us how things are, how things really go. Very interesting. The Euphrates River is the longest river in Western Asia. That river is 1,740 miles long. That's a long river. And, you know, different times of the year it floods and sometimes it goes down. And so it has those, you know, those things that happen to it. And it's of biblical significance, and it's astounding that the Garden of Eden was somewhere in this area, somewhere in this same area where Adam sinned, the first sin. That was the first sin of man that happened right around in this area where it's talking about loosing the angels in the Euphrates River. And we also find that the first a murder was committed in this same area where this we're talking about loose these angels, where Cain killed his brother Abel. This is where the flood started, right in this same area. All of this in this same area, where the Tower of Babel stood, also in this same area. Also, Babylon was built here, and world government and world religion began in this same area. All of these things in the same area. God told man, go be fruitful and you know, and fill the land and fill the land. You know what they did? They came together and they built a city. It was not, the cities are not God's idea, y'all. He says, spread out, be fruitful, fill the land, replenish the earth. Those people came together and they decided that they were going to build a tower to reach God. The exact opposite of what he said, do. We are a mess, y'all. Man is a mess. Man, I tell you, old disobedient man, I tell you, we are something else. But it wasn't God's best idea. A king for Israel wasn't God's best idea. He said, you don't need a king. We want a king like everybody else. He said, you know, we want a king. He said, give him a king. But it was not his best for them. But they insisted that they wanted a king. We want to get rid of our wives. Well, Moses, listen, God didn't mean that. We want to get rid of them. She burned the beans too much. You know? Moses said, well, give her a writing of divorcement and let her go. But that was not God's plan. You see, divorce is not God's plan. It happens, but it's not God's plan. See, it was from the beginning. He made them both male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And these two shall be one flesh. One flesh. But of course, Moses, Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, and he was talking to the Jews, because of the hardness of your heart allowed this. But from the beginning, it was not so. It was not God's plan. So a lot of things we have today and that we even practicing today was not God's best for mankind. Amen. But we're making do. We're living in cities. We're still having divorce. We're still killing and murdering each other. You know, all this stuff is still going on, but it was not God's best. So we find in this area, all of this has happened. And it has long been associated with astrology, idolatry, and demon worship, and witchcraft, and many other dark, sinful practices, right in this area where these angels are being loosed. On a more contemporary note, this demonic place was the scene of several battles in America's war on terrorism, right in the same area. War on terrorism. Islamic militants committed gruesome murders, torturing and beheading several people in this area. Some victims were found chained to a wall and starving to death right around in this area. Whoever these four angels are, they are released from an area where the worst of our world's woes began. Whoever these four angels are, they are probably fallen angels. They worked along with Satan, the serpent, in the vicinity of the Euphrates River and surrounding area. And we are not told by these four angels, but they've been incarcerated. And in our own experience, in our own personal experience, the worst and the most dangerous of criminals are locked away if they catch them, or if they don't kill them. You know, you got to lock them up or kill them, because they're not going to stop. I mean, you know, they're killing them every day. Sometimes innocent people get in the crossfire. Sometimes the police get a little confused and they shoot the wrong person and everything like that. But the worst of the worst criminals are either captured and locked up or they're killed. Because they're not going to stop. They're going to continue their crazy, crazy ways. And so in our own experience, that happens. And they're so evil that they're locked away. Sometimes they're so evil that they're locked away in jail from other criminals in jail. I mean, it is really something. When I go into the jail to minister, they will let me into a pod to minister. And I'll go in and talk to we'll give the invitation for those that want to come. And some will come and some won't come. And they won't come. And they'll let us in. And we I comfortably walk in. I stay close to the chaplain because I don't want to veer off nowhere. And they'll go in and minister and sing and do everything. And we come back out. But there are parts of that jail they will not take me in. They will not take me in that part. And they rarely mentions that part to me. And, you know, you got some psychosis and some psychotic things happening in men where folks say they're crazy, but that's just the way they made many of them. And, you know, you know, they medicate them and they kind of sit around and nod and drool all day. But if they don't take that medication, you better watch yourself around them. There are some people that have some propensities to do things that's just in them to do. Some like blood. Some like little kids. Some like to just kill folks. Some are just thieves. Just thieves. Got to steal something. I ain't paying for it. Got a pocket full of money. I ain't paying for it. I'll steal it first, you know. Oh, come on, man. You got $1,000 in your pocket. My $1,000, but I ain't going to pay for that sandwich. I'm going to steal that sandwich, you know. And when they lock them up, they process $1,000 in the property room and the sandwich that they stole. And it's like, what is wrong with you, man? I'm a thief. And things run deep, you know. And you know, what's wrong with them? Man, they got something in there that's driving and pushing them. And so we're talking about these four angels. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. Now, I mentioned a little earlier that the element of time and its division is very important as we go through the book of the Revelation. In this verse, 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour is identified. As you may remember earlier in this chapter, in verse 10, 5 months were already counted. God's precise timing for the 7-year tribulation period is laid out for the exact hour, the exact minute, and the exact second. If he says 7 years, we're going to see him countdown 7 years of things that happen. When the rapture of the church takes place, that is when we, the church, the body of Christ, is taken up out of this world, which we expect to happen anytime, 1/4 of the earth's population will be destroyed at the opening of the fourth seal. 1/4 of the earth population. Revelation 6, 7, and 8. That will be about 1.5 billion people killed by sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. 1.5 billion people. Now, I didn't see any eyebrows go up at the number 1.5 billion. But if I gave you $10,000, you get excited. Woo! Your whole face would change. Mm-hmm. You giving me $10,000? Yes, for you. Woo! $10,000. You get excited over $10,000. You need to believe, sister. I might walk up to you one day. I might be speaking prophetically. I might walk up to you one day and hand you $10,000. You're supposed to say, praise the Lord. Give it to him, Lord, so he can bring it to me. You know. But just as an example, we relate to $10,000. We relate to $20,000. We relate to $30,000. Makes sense. $50,000. Okay, I kind of relate to $50,000. $100,000. All right, halfway don't know what to do now with $100,000. I'm about to lose my mind with $100,000. You know, $500,000 is 1.5 million. Now you get people start getting sassy when they get $500,000. You know, they start cutting up then. You know, they go shopping crazy. They ain't got room for the stuff. They're going to buy it anyway. I always wanted one of these. You got 5 cars parked out in front of their house. They ain't got room for the cars. You know, you can't drive but one. So that's 500. $1 million. You can, you know, I always wanted $1 million. You know, do you know what $1 million is? You know how long it takes to count to $1 million. It takes a long time to count to $1 million. If you went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 25, 100, 101, 102, 100, 500, 100, and you know, 1, 1, 1, 1, you will be counting for a very long time just to count to 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. See, now it's out of our ballgame. When they're talking about the national budget, you know, $100 billion, it means nothing to me. I'm like, yeah, y'all handle that. I don't know what y'all talking about. So when we get up into the billions, that's a number that you and I, unless you're a mathematician and you've really handled a lot of numbers, know nothing about. But I can tell you it is a humongous number. I opened up a webpage, and this was a previous study, and someone did the math, and they put a billion men, figures of men, on the computer screen. And it says scroll down. So I kept scrolling, 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 and hitting the page down button, you know, paging down. Down, 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 down. Whoa, 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 way, way down. And then way, way out. Then you start scrolling to the side, and it's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scrolls. You got to go down and out. I mean, it is a humongous number. So 1.5 million people is a lot of people. China, billion, I'm sorry, billion. What 100 million is, but 100 billion is a lot of people. China boasts of having a population of 1.3 billion people. That's China. That's just China. So, yeah, just to kind of just tell you the kind of numbers, just to kind of throw something out there for you to get lost in, because it's a huge, tremendous number of people. And these 1.5 billion will be killed by sword, hunger, death, and by the beasts of the field. That means animals will be attacking mankind. And so these random pit bull attacks don't mean nothing. But what you're going to see, bears coming out of the forest. You're going to see serpents showing up at your front door or showing up in your bathroom, poisonous serpents. You're going to see birds dive bombing you from the air. Just amazing. You know, little Fido, the little toy dog, become vicious. Raccoons. You know what I mean? Don't go down by the sea. Don't go down by the alligators will be coming up and dragging you off. I mean, by beast. I mean, these animals will have lost any kind of control because during that time, they will be given the okay to do these types of things. This is the Great Tribulation. Revelation 9:16, I'm going to sound bad, and I probably can't make it sound as bad as it really will be. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. That number is 200 million. 200 million horsemen. The army mentioned here in verse 16 will probably be made up of men. And it starts getting vague because of the description that he used of horses and that type of thing. But the number 200 million must be a future army, since at the time that John lived, it outnumbered the population during his day. So there weren't that many people around when John gave this number, 200 million in an army. Today, only two nations can field a 200 million man army, and that would be China and India. China seems more likely. Its oil reserves are low. Gasoline requirements are increasing 7 times faster than the requirements that we have in the United States, and we use a lot of gas. And their use is increasing 7 times faster than ours. And they're depending more and more on oil from the Middle East. China is probably building, equipping, and restructuring her military so her troops can be moved around the world. China is going to become mobile. China will have a military machine that can be moved at one point or another around the world. India has the second largest population in the world, but it lacks troops. It doesn't have the troops. It's the second largest, but it doesn't have the troops. She has one half of the number of troops that China has. So in order for India to match China's military numbers, they would have to add allies to their numbers. In other words, they'd have to find other countries that will come in with them. But they will not be able to China. They're the second largest population in the world, but they cannot match China's number. So China is more likely at this stage, and we're talking in the natural now, right now, it's more likely to be the country that would be able to fill this 200 million man army. The military leaders of these 200 million men army will be seduced by the angels of the Euphrates River. Just to be clear, God is the one who's allowing these evil angels to convince and to do what they do and to convince this enormous military machine to go on the rampage and kill 1/3 of mankind, which is what they're going to do. 1/3. That is insane. That is insane. I mean, you have got to be seduced to have that kind of hate in your heart. And that to be able to be driven to just go out and just snuff people's lives out. 1/3 of mankind's lives. Just snuff them out. Kill, 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 kill them all, kill them all. That's the Great Tribulation. Revelation 9:17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Brimstone is the same as sulfur. Sulfur is very toxic. Sulfur, it affects you, the nasal passages. It chokes you. It causes your eyes to run. It does your bronchial passages are affected. They become inflamed when you dealing with this sulfur. Brimstone is what came down on Sodom and Gomorrah. And so you can imagine they're burning with fire, and they're also burning internally with this sulfur that's coming down, brimstone. They call it brimstone, but it's sulfur. And so this is going to be a part of what's going on. These things that look like lions are going to be coming out of their mouths. There's going to be smoke coming. What is that? Smoke coming out of their mouths and brimstone. The great army will have 200 million mounted troops. These troops and their horses could be machines. As far as we can say right now, we don't have anything really to compare this to than the machines or something that they might, you know. The army may have some secret thing that they're working on and developing that might look like this, but they don't let us know because we'll freak out. We see something like this, and so they don't want to get us concerned. So who knows what all they're doing behind the scenes. But they're going to have breastplates that will be fiery red and hyacinths. It's called hyacinth blue and sulfur yellow. And the heads of these mounts will look like lions. And fire will come out of their mouths, along with smoke and brimstone, which could be explosions, it could be projectiles, it could be missiles. We just don't know. But it's going to be very deadly, whatever it is going to be coming out their mouths. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to consider, like John was 2,000 years ago looking at this vision. He know what a tank was. He didn't know what a drone was. I mean, drones, if you look at drones, they look like insects coming, you know, and if somebody launch a drone attack and they got 50 drones coming, you're like, oh, my God, the mosquitoes are enormous. They're radioactive if you've never seen them. And he could have no telling what he could see. A drone to John 2000 years ago could be giant bugs coming out of the sky as far as he's concerned, you know, and tanks that's shooting this fire out. It could be like a giant elephant or something to him. He's got no reference 2,000 years ago to explain it. He's saying it was like this and like that. We can look at it and say, well, you know, it looks like that could be someone parachuting out of the sky. You know, it could be a supersonic jet or something. This thing appeared and disappeared and, you know, that fast, you know, traveling at the speed of sound today. What is that to him? You don't know what that is. It's a giant eagle with wings that didn't flap or something. And it just went. And I saw it, and then I didn't see it no more. And he was doing the best he could to try to explain. But we're in a day now where technology has advanced so far forward. They have created or found gunpowder. And, you know, people, it used to be bewitching to people to see some fraud come with gunpowder in his pocket and take it and throw it in the fire, and the fire go whoosh, and he say, "Behold," you know, and folks go, "Ooh, you know, witchcraft," and it's just gunpowder that you know, and folks would come in and do that kind of thing. But nowadays, what's gunpowder? Yeah, we know what gunpowder is. We just had the 4th of July. We know about that, you know, and you know, pshew. And imagine him seeing a 4th of July celebration 2,000 years ago. He say fire was shot from the earth to the sky and exploded to the. We would have tried to explain that in the best terms that he had. And so he's seeing these things, the smoke and the brimstone. And one interesting thing is that China's flag is red.
Amen.
And yellow. The same colors that he's describing here. Many of China's army wears dark blue uniforms. The Jason. That's blue. And in China, it's commonly called the yellow peril. That's the yellow, that the sulfur, the yellow.
Right.
So, you know, so it's amazing that the colors that John mentioned we find here. And that China is commonly called the yellow peril. And that a fire-breathing dragon with large heads, that's the favorite symbol of China. That's their symbol. A fire-breathing dragon with large heads. So maybe John was really describing China. Well, he got the number population-wise right. Then he started describing this head-like lion and all of this. But then you look over China, and they've got, that's their favorite symbol. And he's calling these colors out, and that's China's colors. The uniforms are the same color. The red, the flag is the same color. So we could put that together and say, good chance he was talking about China. China at this time is the only country that can field that size of an army. By these, verse 18, was the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now you tell me what that is, because I have no idea what that is. So we're getting now, he's describing things that I don't know any equivalent in our day where there's a tail that's got a serpent head on it, and he does hurt with his tail. So now we're moving out of things that you can explain into things that I can't explain it. Except this is what God is going to be allowing to do. And the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues, yet repented not of their works, of their hands. And they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so during this time, there's going to be a great resurgence, and as there is now, of sorceries and witchcraft and Satanism and the worship of Satan. As a matter of fact, many of the young people today now are turning to witchcraft and sorcery and horoscopes. Y'all got to be careful with horoscopes. They are entertaining.
No, I did not.
They are entertaining. I understand that they are entertaining, but you cannot base your day on something that dear Annie wrote or whoever wrote. You know, you got to base your day on the Word of God and what God says. So be careful of these things. They're very easy to get to. You can find them online. You can find them in newspapers. And they're made easily available, and many Christians do follow the horoscope. So I'm saying to be very careful with some of the things that you entertain outside of Scripture. Because if it's not biblical, then it's not of God. And they have their own agenda, but you got to be careful of these things, church. I'm telling you, you got to stay away from these things. Amen?
Amen. Amen.